Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 21. It reads, "And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them." By way of introduction, I want to continue on a theme about preserving life. Now, according to some statistics that I've looked up, since the landmark overturning of Roe v. Wade in 2022, abortion access has been limited to a number of individual states. However, even with certain bans, the national abortion numbers have increased with the aid of telemedicine combined with shield laws allowing abortion pills to be mailed to restricted states. The monthly average of abortions in 2022 was about 79,000. Today, the monthly average is around 98,000. So this country continues to have a widespread issue that far surpasses the genocide of over 6 million Jews in Nazi camps during the 1930s and 40s. But even if the numbers are not true or completely accurate, the dehumanization is the same. Nazis classified Jewish people as unworthy life. While today's society regards the fetus as lacking personhood. As brothers and sisters in Christ, being pro-life is where we stand. The Bible affirms that life in the womb is sacred from the moment of conception. The baby is a blessing from God. Psalm 127:3 reads, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." The prophet Jeremiah said, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." The psalmist said, "For you form my inward parts. You cover me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So the bottom line is that human life is sacred, because humans are created in the image of God, Genesis 1:26 and 27. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, reflecting God's triune nature. We have a conscience, a moral compass, which sets us apart from the animal world. Humans can reflect some of God's attributes, like reason and love, and making good judgment. That's partly what sets us apart in his likeness. That's why we can have a personal relationship with God. So, life at an early start should be protected the most, because it is at its weakest and most vulnerable. Well, today's account is about two women who have become unsung heroes in the Bible for their efforts protecting lives that couldn't fend for themselves. I'd like to read Exodus chapter 1. "Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us. And so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with vigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, from whom the name of one was Shebra, and the other name was Pua. And he said to them, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on their birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew mightily. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born shall be cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. This morning I want to speak about 3 points. First, the role of the midwife. Second, the fear of the Lord. And third, to choose life over death. The role of a midwife. The duties of a midwife were essentially to assist and help an expecting mother through the process and physical pain of childbirth. They would offer words of encouragement, as one midwife did for Rachel in her time of hard labor. Midwives would continue to assist the mother immediately after birth by cutting the umbilical cord, washing the baby, wrapping them up in swaddling cloths. And if a mother had twins, the midwife would distinguish the babies by tying a scarlet thread around the wrist of the firstborn, because the firstborn son would eventually be responsible for the family's legacy down the road. But midwife's job was about bringing new lives into this world to help protect them and care for them. The midwives were very compassionate women. They were there for the mother as well in her time of physical and emotional recovery after giving birth. So both the midwife and the child were dependent. So both the mother and the child were dependent on the midwives. Excuse me. The psalmist kind of places the role of a midwife to God because of the trust and dependence of being aided and cared for since birth. The psalmist wrote, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. So we see that midwives were essential in aiding in the process of the physical birth of the baby, trying to make it as smooth as possible. So what kind of spiritual application can we come out of this? Well, believer, like a midwife, in a spiritual way, you are essential in assisting the new birth of a believer, pushing them towards their purpose of getting to know the Lord through Scripture and bringing glory to Him. You are responsible for not confusing them through carnal living, which is opposite of righteousness. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2 read, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So continue to aid baby believers to ensure that their conversion, their new birth, is not false. Set them up for success. Be a good example of what Christ-likeness is for them. Guide them through the word. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Help baby believers be sure in the faith, because there are so many emotional hearers that just come and go. Satan has a way of choking out the seed planted in the baby believer through worldly cares, worldly wisdom, wickedness. Help provide stability for them in Christ. The second point is the fear of the Lord. So these two Hebrew women are the only midwives mentioned in the Bible by name. The names were Shiphrah and Puah. And these remarkable women, through their acts of civil disobedience against Pharaoh's command, led to one of history's greatest acts of moral courage and resistance. Their act led to many lives being saved. Reason being, because of the fear of the Lord outweighed the fear of men. Now, did the midwives lie about the Israelite woman in verse 19? Yes. I'm sure they could have done it a different way that honors God. And to be clear, God didn't reward the lie. He rewarded their courage to do what was right in their circumstance. He rewarded them for saving innocent lives, the preservation of life. Furthermore, this is the point in history before the law of God was even presented by Moses. In fact, Moses was one of the many baby boys in danger of being killed under Pharaoh's decree. But in God's sovereignty, he used courageous women, such as the midwives, to save some. So even without formal religious instruction, God has already awakened their conscience between knowing good and evil. Romans 2:15 states that the law is already written on our hearts, bearing witness to our conscience. These two midwives spent their lives caring for and loving babies. But now the king has commanded them to kill any baby that is a boy. Scripture states that the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. This godly fear that Shiphrah and Puah had for God was held in a much higher regard than for the Pharaoh. This was a respect for who God is. This was not a terrified fear of the Lord. There is no fear in love. And just to remember, Pharaoh could have killed them right there on the spot for their disobedience. But they would rather please the Lord doing what was right than obey Pharaoh doing what was wrong, what was evil. They were giving the Lord the highest esteem through their actions, which reflected their devoted hearts. How could they have peace among themselves following through on such an evil decree? Jeremiah 2:19 says, your own wickedness will correct you. In your backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and a bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. And the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Again, these women, out of their reverence, out of their fear of the Lord, did not want this on their conscience. And again, their fear was not about terror, but it was about devotion. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what does that do? It draws you closer to the Lord through your thoughts and through your actions. Proverbs 14:27 reads, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death." The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. These midwives are a powerful example for us to make a stand for Christ, to stand for the preservation of human life. So I ask you, what does the fear look like in your life? What about taking the Word of God more seriously? Read God's Word, pray God's Word, obey it. What about admitting simple mistakes instead of hiding behind a mask? Because you value God's holy standards more than trying to protect your own self-image. Actions always outweigh words. Could you imagine the government leaders following through on what they promised? Well, neither can I. But again, let's look in the mirror. The fear of God is a life-altering awareness of His holy majesty that leaves one with a desire to turn away from evil. Without the fear of the Lord, what do you automatically do? You start running towards evil. These midwives did the opposite, and God rewarded them and provided households for them. You see, our God is a great rewarder. Ephesians 6:8 reads, "Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. The last thing I want to speak about is choose life rather than death. You know, Pharaoh's reasoning to kill all the baby boys was because he feared that the Israelites would continue to be fruitful and multiply to the point that they would be mightier than the Egyptians in their own land. But they may side with the enemies of the Egyptians and take over somehow. The point is that these innocent babies were going to pay the price with their lives because of Pharaoh's anxiety. Today, that anxiety could be in the form of the God of inconvenience, the God of financial freedom, the God of poor timing, the God of being in fear of being a single parent. All these things will eventually turn into the God of regret. Life at times will lead you through unfavorable circumstances. God has given us a free will to choose, but He has always called us to choose life than death. To have peace and prosperity over death and curses. Moses challenged his people to determine which path they wanted to inherit. Which path they wanted to take if they wanted to inherit the promised land. He said, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us, and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan and go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Today, you also have two paths laid before you spiritually, to be forgiven for your sins and live eternally with God, or die in your sins eternally, be apart from God in hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Apostle John wrote, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So remember, if there's a choice between life and death, whether physically or spiritually, God calls us to choose life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this account in your holy word about these two courageous midwives helping to save innocent, precious lives. For you are the only life giver, and we rejoice in you. For you are the ultimate life preserver, and we desire that no life should perish in their sins. You willed to give up the life of your only begotten Son, so that wretched people such as ourselves can have spiritual life and be reconciled to you. Help us, Father, who are yours through the Spirit, to hate those things that you hate, and to boldly stand for life that cannot fend for themselves in the womb. For their lives are precious, just like our own. We serve in your mission field to proclaim eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let your will continue to be the source of life in all that we do, in all that we think, in all that we say. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.